We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
So we're talking about miracles this month. And as I said already this morning, I'm going to talk about miracles of healing. Healing has really intrigued me ever since I was a teenager, ever since I was a kid. You hear about great men and women of God that they would pray for people and miracles would happen. You read in the Bible what happened, and I would always wonder, is God ever going to be able to use me to do that? And He does. Just as he can use them, He can use me. And just as He uses me, He can use you. It's just a matter of, God, please come, fill me with your Holy Spirit, fill me with your power, give me the gifts of the Spirit, and use me to touch and change this world. And I've prayed that prayer so many times. Lord, just come, touch me, change me, fill me, use me, and endue me with the gifts of your Spirit so that when I pray for people, that people's lives will be touched and changed. And I believe that for many of you this morning, if you will allow your faith to be built, to rise to whatever your need is, that your need will be met in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because God is still a God of miracles. Mark chapter 11. You can turn there. Mark 11. The last few words of verse 22. Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. For assuredly, verse 23, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When do you believe? When you pray, right? When you pray, believe that you have them. When you pray, believe that you will have them. Is that what it says? No. When do you believe? When you pray. You believe when you pray, when you ask God, God, I need you to come touch my life. I need you to heal me. I need you to take this disease out of me. When you pray, when you're being prayed for, when the power of God is present, you believe God for that miracle now. It's the problem with too many people is they believe that God can heal them, but it's always in the future. When do you believe? You believe when you pray, believe. And then you will receive. So this is mountain-moving faith. Now, moving a mountain would be a miracle, wouldn't you agree? So I thought this was a fitting text for our month on miracles. If you don't think that's a miracle, just go out and try it and see what happens. But sickness can be a huge mountain in people's lives, figuratively speaking. You know, if you've struggled with sickness or disease for a long period of time, maybe you've been prayed for by many ministers, maybe you've been in many church services, and you've been believing God for a long time to be healed of something, and it just seemed like no matter what's happened in your life so far, it hasn't gone away, that thing becomes a mountain. It becomes really hard to deal with. Because you tend to think, well, I got prayed for, I've been praying for this, I've been believing for this for years and years and years, and nothing has happened. That once small thing has become a serious mountain in your life that now is struggling to be removed. So let me ask, do you have faith? Do you believe or do you doubt? Now, many people today are, quote, hoping and praying. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I'm just hoping and praying. Praise God, just hoping and praying. They're going to be hoping and praying until either the rapture happens or they're 6 feet under. One or the two. Because hoping and praying never got anybody in the Bible a miracle. Faith gets a miracle. Hoping and praying is just like a lame excuse for saying, I have no faith, but I want to sound spiritual. It's not going to get you a miracle. Faith is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next year. Faith is now. So my goal this morning is to build your faith now. So that when I pray for you, that your faith is built, and that I don't, you know, Jesus is the one that does the miracles, so all glory goes to him, but that when I pray for you, I mean, I'll share a scripture later from Paul, that when he saw somebody's faith, he could see the faith in them, and then he knew that all he had to do was tell them to get up. So my goal is in preaching is to build faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this morning, let your faith be built so that when hands are laid upon you, for whatever the need is, that you will have the faith to receive your miracle. Because it doesn't matter if Smith Wigglesworth was here this morning. It doesn't matter if Charles Finney or John Wesley or Reinhard Bonnke or Dr. Rodney Howard Brown or anyone. It doesn't matter if Jesus himself was here and he laid hands on you and you didn't believe, you wouldn't get squat. That sounds like blasphemy, doesn't it? But Jesus, when he was in his hometown, he could there do no mighty works, save heal a few sickly folk with minor ailments. Some lady with a hangnail, some old man with a stubbed toe. That's all he was able to heal because of their doubt and unbelief and their familiarity with Jesus. They knew that this was the Jesus that was just like a carpenter, that how could this man claim to be something special? How can he claim to have power? They didn't believe, they doubted. So even Jesus was stopped by doubt. Doubt is the only thing that can stop God from doing a miracle. Nothing else. Sin didn't stop Jesus from doing miracles. In fact, many times when he prayed for people, he told them that you're forgiven of your sins, be healed. So sin wasn't the problem. You know, I think that's where many people actually get hung up, is they go on this spiritual witch hunt in their own life to figure out where the sin is that caused the disease. Where do you see anybody in the Bible ever doing that? Now, it's faith. Faith is the key ingredient to receiving a miracle. So when you pray and you believe, nothing is impossible. Now the doctors, they may have told you that you will always have this. You're always going to have pain. You're never going to have a child. This disease that you have is incurable. Medical science says that there's nothing you can do about it. Just take this pill and it'll help relieve the pain, right? As well as cause several other symptoms that will cause you to take several other pills till you have to carry around a tackle box full of pills just to keep yourself, I guess some people call that living, but at that point they're not even really living. They're just trying to like patch up, like it's like an old car that really just needs to just go to the, you know, the what do you call those places? The scrapyard. It just needs to go to the scrapyard, but they're just keep patching it up. A little more duct tape, a little more super glue. We'll keep this thing running. No, just send it to the scrapyard. I was driving in Florida one time, and there was this van that had, they had stuck, you know, like the window air conditioner units that you see? They had duct taped that to the back window of their car. I mean, the car, you could see that van, it just needed to go to the scrapyard, but some people, they just keep it going. And that's the way some people's lives are. They're just being held together by pill after pill after pill, but it doesn't have to be that way. Unlike that clunker car, God can do a work and in one touch can totally restore every bit of health that the devil has stolen from your life. Amen? So do you want to be healed today? Because you can be, but you must have the faith. You must believe for your miracle. Amen? Whatever things you ask when you pray. If something is according to the will of God, then you can have faith to believe God for it. And health and healing is in the will of God, the written will of God. You don't even have to pray about it. You don't have to ask God, God, do you want me healthy? You don't have to pray. You're never going to get an answer from that prayer. Never. He answered it several times, many times in Scripture. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health. Boom, right there. When the man asked Jesus, are you willing to heal me? He said, I am willing. Answered the question. So you don't need to know, does God want me healthy? Yes, he does. It's written right in black and white in the Bible. All right, I'll tell you a testimony of something that I was healed from, because I think that this might help some of you, because I found myself struggling. I had what was called kyphosis. It's the opposite of scoliosis. Scoliosis is where if you look at someone's back, it's crooked side to side, right? Well, kyphosis is where your spine comes in too far here and it comes out too far here, and if it gets really bad, that's what they call a hunchback. So I had this as an issue, and it started at a young age when I was just a teenager. I remember I was probably around 13 or 14 the first time I really felt it. I was at football practice, and man, my back was just hurting so bad. And I love football. It wasn't because I got hit too hard or anything like that. I was just in so much pain that the coaches actually said that I didn't have to do all the exercise because it hurt so bad. And then later throughout high school, my back was hurting so bad, but I loved baseball. But every time I would swing the bat, it was like I was getting stabbed in the back with a knife. I would literally, for every game that I played, I would start somewhere around probably 12, 1 o'clock, taking, I think, just painkillers. I don't remember what it was, Bayer Back and Body, something like that. But at like 15, 16 years old, you shouldn't have to live on painkillers. But I was, because my back was in so much pain. And my parents and my family, they probably remember, I used to be pretty much useless when it came to like doing things like splitting firewood and stuff. I couldn't do a lot because I had so much back pain. And I even took physical therapy, and it seemed like no matter what I did, nothing would help this. And this is already after I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I believed in miracles. I loved hearing testimonies of people getting healed and miracles, and I'd read about it. And I was always hoping that one day that would happen to me. And that's really where my problem lied, is that I was hoping that one day it would happen to me. And as long as that you're hoping that one day it'll happen to you, it will just keep on hoping that one day it will happen to you. And I believed that God could heal me. But for some reason, I wasn't getting healed. And so I had gone to any time that there was like an evangelist or a healing service, I was there and I would go and get prayed for. I remember one time, this was way back when, Benny Hinn was in Toronto and I went to the meeting, and I was sitting way up here it was like a stadium, whatever, and I was like way up here to the right. If this was the stage that he was on, I was sitting way up there somewhere. And I remember he went like this and he points, and you know, I mean, he could have been pointing at the whole area, but he said, someone right over here is being healed of back pain. And I knew it was me. I knew that I was being healed of back pain. And I felt it. The pain left, it was gone. And I was like, I got it. And then I walked out of that service. And as I was walking to the car, I felt a tinge of pain in my back, and this is what I did. I said, devil, I've been healed. That's my miracle. Don't touch my body. By his stripes, I've been healed. Get away from me. And the devil left. No, that's not what happened. I wish that's what happened. I didn't know better at that point. What happened was I was like, oh, crap, I didn't get healed. And I didn't get healed. It's the way many people lose their miracle, including myself. I actually believe that if I would have done what I said I did, that pain would have stayed gone. But I didn't, because I allowed a lying symptom to touch pain, to touch my body, and then just accept that sickness back into my body. If that's all the devil has to do to convince you that you didn't get a miracle, then you'll be sick. You can get healed time and time again, but you'll just be going back to the same sickness time and time again. Because once you get healed, the devil still wants to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not like once you get a miracle that like now the devil just realizes his mission for you is over. No, he's going to keep trying, and he's going to do it in your thought life. There's this old song that I you know, anybody here would just make fun of me because it sounds so old school and whatever, but some of the words go, symptoms will come to everyone, try to bluff us out. And that's really what happens. Symptoms, they try to come and they try to get you, because a symptom doesn't mean that you have a disease. It just means that the devil's trying to put something on you, and if you can reject it in that moment, it'll go. But if you just let it come and fester and you believe it, What do you get? You get what you believe and what you confess. And man, when that bit of pain came right into my back, I believed that I had it, and then I said I didn't get my healing. And according to Mark 11, 22 and 23, 24, I got exactly that. My faith was in pain, and I had it. And then I went to many other ministers that, you know, they would share testimonies about how the power of God touched people and healed them time and time again. But for some reason, I never was getting my miracle. And I struggled with this for years and years and years. From the time that I was about 13 or 14, all the way up until I was in the middle of Bible school while I was dealing with all this pain. And what my issue was, is that I was walking by sight, not by faith. And so what happened? Because now I don't deal with back pain anymore. You know, I can stand up and I'm fine. I can go out and split wood with my dad and be totally fine. Because someone gave me, actually, Dr. Rodney at his house, he had a computer with like over, it was like 1,100 some sermons from Kenneth Hagin. And if you know his ministry, he just preaches on faith, 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 faith. He's just constantly preaching on faith. And so I got that. I took all of those sermons, I put it on my iPod, and I would just listen to it over and over. Mind you, I have had Pastor Rodney pray for me. I've had all these great men and women of God pray for me, lay hands on me, and nothing happened. Because it was me trying to rely on a person. It was me trying to rely on somebody's gifting, on somebody's anointing. It wasn't me trying to rely on God. And so I would go, and I would get prayed for by all these people, and nothing happened. But when I started to put the word in me, because faith comes by what? And hearing by what? The word of God. So as I started putting the word of God in me, it started to build my faith like a muscle that I have something to do with this. That I actually can change this sickness without even having to have hands laid on me. That if I can just get my faith strong and then learn how to release my faith, then I can be healed. And so that's what I began to do. I began just to study the Bible and find time and time again where Jesus healed people, and I would listen to testimony after testimony of people getting healed, and then I began to change my confession, which is releasing my faith. Every time that I felt pain, I wouldn't say, man, this sucks, I need to go take some back pain. I would say, by his stripes I've been healed. And faith is walking by, or we walk by faith, not by sight. So regardless of what I feel, see, or taste, or touch, or my senses are telling me, I don't care. I'm going to walk by faith and say it, even when it sounds stupid. When that lady went to her neighbor's house, she was walking by faith, and it sounded stupid asking for empty vessels. But she walked by faith anyway. And I learned to walk by faith that I don't care what my body's telling me. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is telling me that I'm healed. And so I began to tell my body to line up with God's word. Some, you know, you don't think of yourself as your body. You're a separate being, because when you die, this body stays here on earth. And you go to heaven. The real you is your spirit. So have the real you talk to the carcass that it lives in. That's all this really is. It's just nothing but a dirt bag. Think about it. God made Adam out of dirt. This bag of dirt, I mean, when you were formed out of dirt, and one day you just go back to dirt. So tell that dirt bag what to do. Right? Your spirit's eternal, your body isn't. That's why when we die and we go to heaven, we receive a glorified body. That then will be eternal. But this one that we have right now, this is our earth suit that's going to pass away. And God has given you spiritual authority to tell it what to do, and you can do that by faith. But as long as you just think of you as being this body, you'll struggle with that. Realize that you're not this. This is just something that my spirit lives in. And my words and my confession and my faith affect what this thing experiences. Amen? And so I had to learn to walk by faith after listening to those sermons over and over. It didn't happen the first time. I listened to it over and over. I was working for Pastor Rodney at his house at the time, and his house is about an hour from the church, and my house was about 45 minutes from the church and half hour from his house, and I was in Bible school. So my morning consisted of driving 45 minutes to church, at least an hour back to his house after school. School gets out at 12, and then at least a half hour drive back from his house to my house. And then half the time when I was working, I'm just out in the yard or doing something by myself or driving around for him. So I was constantly putting faith in, because I knew that if I wanted to actually do something about this, I had to change it. I've already had enough people lay hands on me to know that I needed to do something. And great, I'm going to pray for people today and believe that when I lay hands on you that you'll be healed, but really it has to do with your faith as well. Don't think that, well, that preacher laid hands on me and nothing happened and that preacher's not anointed. Maybe it was your lack of faith. And I had to realize that I have to build my faith instead of just trying to put the blame onto God, hoping that one day he's going to do it, putting the blame on the preachers that they weren't anointed enough, to putting the blame onto me and figuring out what is it that I need to do. And that's what happened. You know, many people, you could even be here listening to this message this morning and you think, well, I've heard so many sermons on faith and healing and I've had hands laid on me so many times and nothing's ever changed. You know, I tried, I believed, I got prayed for and nothing happened. Or I got healed and then I lost the healing and so I don't even know if I got healed at all. You know, the devil will come and put these lying thoughts into your mind and try to render you powerless. Because if he can get you to believe his lies versus the word of God, then you'll remain in the condition that you're in, that he's given you. Devil is bad. God is good. So if good is healing, then that's from God. And if the devil's bad, then sickness would be bad, right? Does everyone agree with that? Simple deduction. All right. Now, people, they ask, why didn't I get healed? And this is the answer that I always give them. I don't know. And I'm not going to try to figure it out. It's not my job to figure out why you didn't get healed. I can probably make some pretty good guesses, though. And I would say, as I've already mentioned, that probably the number one reason is lack of faith, is doubt. But it could be many things. It could be unforgiveness in somebody. It could be some sort of sin, some sort of matter of the heart. It could be unforgiveness. It could be a bunch of stuff. Could be something completely different that I didn't mention. It could be anything. So I'm not going to sit there and try and nitpick about what it is. I'd rather just try to build people's faith to believe that God wants to heal me now and that I can do something about it. You can do something about your condition. And maybe you're sitting here in perfect health and you're thinking, well, this doesn't really apply to me. Yes, it does, because you're going to meet somebody one day that's going to tell you, I got prayed for and nothing happened and I don't believe in that stuff anymore. So even if you're here with good health, believe, learn this so that you can give it to somebody else. Amen? And if you're here in perfect health, I promise you that sneaky snake, the devil, he's going to try to come at some point and put sickness back on you. He's relentless. And if you let your guard down, that's when sickness can easily come in. So you always have to keep your faith strong. It's just like working out at gym. You stop working out for you work out for 2 years and you start looking buff and whatever and you got these big muscles. Give it 6 months of poor eating and just sitting on the couch and you'll just lose it all. It's happened to me time and time again. So now I'm just wondering if I really want to, or if I should just give up on that. Paul said to buffet his body daily. Well, I mean, something like that. He was talking about buffeting, but it's spelled the same as buffet. All right, the bottom line is that the reason that you're sick is it's not God's fault. Somewhere here on earth lies the problem with your sickness and your disease. Whether it's just the fact that because Adam and Eve sinned and we're born into this world that is fallen and cursed, it could be just that. Or it could be because there is sin in your life. Or it could be because of this thing or that thing. But somewhere on earth lies the problem. Because God, in James 1:17, it says that God gives only good gifts and that with him is no variable of changing. He doesn't change, which means if he's only giving good gifts today, that means 10 years from now, 1,000 years from now, he'll only still be giving good gifts. He's not bipolar where every day he like switches what he wants to give. He's constantly giving good gifts, which health is a good gift. Amen? So the problem is here on earth, and as I said several times now, I think most often it is doubt. Jesus asked the leper in Mark chapter 1, he asked, are you willing to heal me? And Jesus said, I am willing. And then he took his hand. And if you were here Wednesday night, I talked about leprosy and how it like totally diseases your skin and it starts getting rotten and grimy and gross and you stink. And Jesus took his hand and it says that he touched that man. You don't touch somebody when they have leprosy. It's a very serious disease. You just put them on the other side of town where you don't want to get near and you don't go near them. You don't touch them especially. Jesus touched that man and he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And that man was cleansed. So you know that God is willing, that the problem isn't with him, it's somewhere here on earth. Now, James chapter 1 and verse 6, it goes along with what we read in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. James 1 and verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith. This is talking about wisdom. But here, this isn't just about wisdom. He's actually giving us the universal key to receiving anything from God and the universal key that stops you from receiving from God. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded mind, unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. He might be a good man. He might be a quilt maker. He might be, remember Dorcas last week? We were talking about Dorcas, beautiful quilter, but she died. It doesn't matter like what you do. If you don't have faith, you can't receive anything from God. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You could put in $1 million into the offering this morning and you can't buy your healing. You can go out tomorrow and tell 10,000 people that Jesus loves them and see many of them get saved. But if you don't have faith, you won't receive a miracle. That's how good, godly Christians get sick, disease, and die. And then people wonder, well, how could God let that happen? Mostly, lack of faith. Because you will not receive anything if you're double-minded. If you're a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if today you think that God wants to heal you, and tomorrow you're not sure, and the next day it's one day off in the future, that's very unstable. Borderline schizo. And you will not receive anything from God. But many people are that way. They have no clue what God is giving out today. So many people, they've asked God to heal them, believe that God could, but not that he would heal them in that moment. It has to be now. It has to be when hands are laid upon me. It has to be when I'm in the presence of God, when I touch the hem of his garment. It has to be that when he puts his hand, when he touches me, I'm going to be changed. When I pray and I believe, something is going to change in my life. It has to be that your faith goes out, that you release your faith in that moment, not just as just like some generality that someday it could happen. It has to be a very specific thing that we have to believe and receive what we pray. Now, in Bible school, there was this guy, drove me nuts, because no matter what the preacher said, he would spout off, I believe it and receive it. Remember that, Tim? I believe I receive it. Everything. I believe I receive. Everything. And it doesn't matter. You, as far as I know, that guy never received squat diddly from God. It doesn't matter how many times you say, I believe and receive. You actually have to believe and then receive. Right? You actually have to build your faith. It was the most obnoxious thing. Like, the minister would be like, I believe some of you guys are going to receive millions of dollars. I believe I receive. Guy is not a millionaire, I'll tell you that. I shouldn't pick on him too bad. Maybe one day, you know, we're all a work in progress. But when you pray, do you know that something is going to change? When you pray, or is it just like in uncertainty? Is it, I hope this is going to work. Maybe this will change something. Or is it when you pray, do you know for a fact that I'm approaching the throne of God and that when I say these words, something is bound to change in my life? Because that's faith. Faith causes things to change, not stay the way that they are. Something has to happen. Or do you waver? Are you unsure? The ones that when they approached Jesus, when they didn't waver with what they wanted, they got what they wanted every single time, even when they weren't supposed to. The Syrophoenician woman, her daughter was home, tormented by a demon, and she was a Gentile. She wasn't supposed to get healing for her daughter because Jesus even told her, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. But she persisted with faith until she got what she wanted. And the disciples came and they said, Jesus, can't you tell her to leave? And that's when he says, I didn't come for you. I came for the children. And then she says, yeah, but even the dogs will eat the scraps that fall from the children's table. She persisted until she got what she came for. The ones that persist in faith are the ones that will always get what they want from Jesus. This morning, you have to, in your heart, in your spirit, persist and determine that I'm getting what I came here for today. If you need a healing in your body, then persist on it. Say, God, I'm not leaving until I get what I came here for. There was a man that was carried by four people, that they tore up the roof because the place was so packed they couldn't get in. But they persisted. They said, no, this guy that we brought, we didn't bring him, this paralyzed man, all the way here just so that we could drag him back home paralyzed. No, we're getting what we came here for. And they went up on top of that guy's house, ripped it open, and lowered the man. And Jesus said that he saw their faith. You can have faith for other people to get healed. It doesn't say that he saw the man's faith that was lowered down. He said he saw their faith. Their faith caused the miracle. They lowered him down. They were determined, this guy, he's getting it. He's getting the touch. The woman with the issue of blood, she said that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I don't even need a handshake. I don't need a hug. I don't need a hello, how are you doing, ma'am? What do you need? I don't need hands laid on my head. I don't need any of that. I just need to get my hands on the corner of his garment, and I know that I'll receive what I came here for. It's that faith, that tenacity that says, God, you have what I want, and I'm coming for it, and I'm going to take it. Faith is taking the kingdom of heaven by force, not waiting around hoping and praying that it's going to happen. It's putting a demand on the anointing and saying, God, you have what I want, and I'm coming for it, and it's mine. Amen? And that's not being rude. Faith is the only thing that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, for it is impossible to please God without faith. But you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. Amen? The centurion servant, he comes to Jesus, he's so bold. He tells Jesus about his man, his servant that's paralyzed at home. And Jesus says, sure, I'll come pray for him. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm going to do. Once again, this centurion, a centurion was not a Jew. And Jesus says, or the man says to Jesus in response, no, I'm not worthy that you come under my home. Just say the word and it'll be done. And he got exactly what he believed for. It was his faith. By your faith, let it be done unto you. By your faith. There was two blind men that came to Jesus, and they wanted to be healed. They came to the house so that they could receive their sight. And he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes. And then Jesus says, by your faith, let it be done unto you. And then it says that their eyes were open. By your faith. They were with Jesus. Wouldn't you think that Jesus, the Son of God, would say, I have all the faith in the world that you get healed right now, right? He's the Son of God. Doesn't he have the most faith that there is? But it wasn't Jesus' faith. 12 out of 19 miracles, Jesus said, "Let by your faith you receive." And it's so much better when you can receive a miracle by your faith, because then you're not depending on a pastor, on a preacher, on the anointing. What happens if the pastor wakes up and he's having a bad day? And you're desperate for a miracle. Wouldn't it be better that your faith is just so strong that you don't even have to bother him? Or be bothered by him? Hallelujah. They weren't coming to see what was going to happen. They knew. They knew before they even got there. They knew that all I got to do is get near Jesus and this disease, this sickness, this tormenting, it's over. You have to know. So do you know today that Jesus will heal you? Do you know that he's already done the work for you? 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body. Sorry, I should let you guys turn there. Go ahead. Such a good one. Let's read it together. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It says were healed, right? That's past tense, correct? Past tense, you were healed. We have been healed. It's just a matter of making God's word a greater reality to you than your current experiences, than what your senses are telling you. You see, Jesus, when he took those stripes on his back, he already got the healing for you in the spirit realm. And now it's a matter of your spirit connecting with the Holy Spirit to get what God already purchased for you. It already belongs to you, but it's a matter of you reaching out with faith from your heart and your spirit, because you believe in your heart, you believe in your spirit. That's where the faith is. So it's a matter of getting your spirit to believe, and then you reach out and you take what he's already given you. He's already given you healing. By his stripes, you were healed. He's not going to take more stripes for you. Just like he's not going to die on the cross for your sins again. He already died once, and that was good enough. We don't struggle when it comes to salvation thinking that Jesus has to have like another personal crucifixion for me to get saved. But when it comes to healing, we think it has to be like this big personal thing that he has to do something for you. No, he's already done it. It's just a matter of believing in your heart and in your spirit and not your natural senses that it's done. And this is where faith comes in, because people say, well, if I was healed, if we were healed, then why am I still experiencing pain? Why am I still experiencing sickness? Why do I have all these problems? And this is where faith comes in. It's faith that takes what Jesus did for you in the spiritual realm and brings it into the natural realm. Jesus purchased healing for you in the spirit, and it's your faith that will take that, what he did in the spirit, and bring it to the natural, to your physical body. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality." Listen to this last sentence. "Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Faith perceiving as real fact. Faith believes that this is a reality. Faith believes that this is actually the truth, that this is more true than what my senses are telling me are true. My senses, my body, is telling me one thing, but faith tells me a completely different thing. So as long as you agree more with what your body's telling you, that I have pain, that I'm sick, that I'm struggling, then you'll have that. But if you can agree more with faith, that it doesn't matter what my body's telling me, I'm agreeing with faith, because faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith is the substance that will bring about the impossible. Now, New King James Version of Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith is the substance. The definition of a substance is real physical matter of which a person or a thing consists and has a tangible, solid presence. So if you are believing God that you were healed and yet you have sickness, then your healing, which is the miracle, doesn't yet have substance. Health is what you're hoping for, right? We're hoping for health. And faith is the substance, the assurance that you have received it. So faith, even when your body is telling you pain, even when my body is telling me sickness, mucus, whatever, bleeding, hemorrhaging, pain, headache, whatever, that's what my body is telling me. If you want to agree with that, you'll keep it. But if you want to agree with the Word of God, that's faith. Faith is when you don't care what anything else in the sense realm tells you, but you believe what the Word of God tells you. Before you see it in the natural. And that's where so many people missed it. That's where I missed it for so long, is I wanted to feel healthy. I wanted to not have any more back pain before I was able to say, by His stripes I'm healed. Because otherwise I'm lying if I'm saying that by His stripes I was healed if I'm still experiencing pain. So people, they wonder, how is this possible? It doesn't seem like that. It doesn't make any sense. And you're right, it doesn't make sense. Matthew 19 and 26 says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses, what is not revealed to your senses. So you can't be bound to your senses. Living in the supernatural, living in the spirit realm, that is going beyond what you can understand, what you feel, what you know in your body, what your doctor tells you, what the physician says, what the bank statement says. Living in the supernatural is going beyond real knowledge that we experience in this world, and it's going to a higher level of knowledge. What does God say about me? So don't believe in the physical realm. Last scripture I'm going to read, and then I'm going to pray. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. This is Paul. He's in Lystra. And it says, and in Lystra, actually turn there with me, Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Think about that. He never walked. He's been a cripple his entire life. This man heard Paul speaking. Where does faith come? Hearing. Hearing what? Word of God. He heard Paul preaching, and it built faith, right? And then Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. He saw that he had faith to be healed. Let me ask, if Paul was here today, could he see faith in you to be healed? Because Paul could see it. You can see when faith is in somebody. At least Paul could. He saw that this man had faith to be healed because he was hearing the Word of God. That's where the faith came from. And then Paul said with a loud voice. Now, people wonder sometimes, why do preachers scream? Why do they yell when they're praying for people to get healed? Do you know what a loud voice sounds like? It's not quiet, right? See what I did there, huh? Paul, with a loud voice, said, "Stand up straight on your feet," and he leaped and walked. He was preaching. And then he sees this guy who's never walked. He has an impossible situation. He was born crippled. Totally impossible for him to get healed. But as he's preaching, Paul sees him and he says, "This guy has faith to be healed." And I want to present the same challenge to you this morning. Do you have faith to be healed? Because if you do, God will do a miracle in your life this morning.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.